This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. As always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasting. I'm back after my hiatus, we'll call it. I didn't get sacked. A few people asked me that. I wasn't sacked. I was on holidays. The slander on here while I was away, while the cat was away, the mice were playing, slagging my attire. But what goes round comes round. A big week gone for Shells on Wirren side with a hard-earned victory away to Galway to keep their hopes of a League of Ireland title alive. Damien Duff's side, a hard-earned draw, getting on away, or at home to Sligo, I should say, on Friday night, followed by a disappointing loss last night, Monday, at home to St. Pat's. We'll get into it all. We'll cover the good, bad and ugly of it. Ben Cleary, how are you? It's nice to be back.
It's good to be back, Duty. Happy to be here, as always.
Yes.
I've missed you. I've missed our lovely Tuesday evening chats, as they are, but they're, it just turns out into a podcast episode. So it's always good to reflect on the Reds. But we've a lot to talk about, and I think I have a lot of stuff to say that people know your famous line you're not going to be too happy with.
Oh, we'll get there. We will get there. Before I go any further, I would say I thoroughly enjoyed Dazzler's interview with Dermot Healy. It was brilliant. We've said this before. When you're not on the pod, it's great to be able to just sit back and listen to it. But it was a great interview. Dermot obviously did other interviews with other media outlets, and I don't think they were as entertaining as the one he did with Dazzler. So credit where the credit is due, but that is where the credit will end. Ben,
I'm not happy. don't tell us why, maybe, or was there a thing done, maybe?
I don't think so. He left me hanging in Abracadabra yesterday before the game. After originally asking me to go, but actually ended up missing all the entertainment out on the Swords Road in the end, but probably for the best. Look, we may start with last night. It's the most recent in the memory. This usually happens when there's a Monday night game. The Friday one kind of fades into the background a little bit. A 3-2 defeat. Really disappointing, but in a way, encouraging. Am I a bit mad?
No, I'd be inclined to agree wholeheartedly. I think the signs from the team, the performance, the look, I know people say it's cliche now, but like the intensity, the application, everything was kind of there for a few weeks. Maybe it looked like the stamp that the team put on games just wasn't there. The performances weren't really what we'd become accustomed to this season. So I definitely think there's massive positives to take away. Weirdly, I've never been as positive after a defeat. I know that probably sounds a bit mad, and look, you can call me mad. Especially anyone who spoke to me last night after the game, because Judy, as you know, I don't like to speak to anyone for 5, 10, 15. I don't really like talking much after a loss, because I just like to reflect on it in the moment and maybe think about it. But I don't want to say optimistic, it's not really the right word, but I think it's good to see the performance levels where they are, especially at the time of the season it is.
Yeah, it was a mad night. Talking to Stewie Byrne before the game, he was obviously on co-coms for the night. He said to me, this feels like, you know, a team going for the league now. He was like, it's nervy around here. Everyone is very quiet. Everyone's very kind of on edge. And I think I get the feeling the enjoyment of the kind of novelty of being top is gone, if that makes sense, because it's not novelty anymore. Yeah, there's four games to go.
Just pressure so, now.
You're really in it. And as Stewie said, this is the hardest bit. This is the hard, getting over the line at the end is the hardest bit. And especially when maybe the performances had dipped off for a few weeks, that's obviously not going to help your situation. Last night was a weird one in that, like, Pats are the form team, they're playing really well, they're dangerous going forward.
They've so much, like, attacking quality. Like, it's, like, I think the manager said they're killers, and he is right. Like, that is the best way to sum them up, that, like, those forwards, that, like, those attackers, they are stone cold killers.
Yeah, and that thing we've always had this year of being so solid, like, that, not that it's gone away, that doesn't go away, but it's not been as prominent in the last few weeks or the last few games. So it was always kind of looking like it was always going to be a difficult game. Anytime you play Pats, a difficult game, but all the circumstances seem to make it even more difficult. One person was very negative before the game, thought we were going to get hammered. I won't mention him by name, Ben, but he's tall, smokes an electric cigarette, and religiously walks the dog every day. So sure, a few people have put that one together, but it's like the goals, well, right?
It was never going to be a nil-nil. Like
No.
It was always going to be goals. You go out there and you're obviously expecting the defensive solidity. It's what we're kind of based on. And yeah, like, I know we're getting to the goals, but a few lapses in judgment I don't think should shy away from overall a promising performance.
No, definitely shouldn't. But look, you said there about, look, we'll dive into the, we'll go with the negatives to start with. The first goal in particular, I found really frustrating, just because why foul him? Like, he's going nowhere, he's facing away from the goal. Just, I know it's probably a bit of, you know, you don't want to be
soft as well.
Like, it's one of those. It's probably a foul, but, like, it's,
realistically, he could have stayed up. Like, he is playing for the foul there. And, look, yeah, you have to play the game, and I get that, I do. But, like, I don't know. I know you're saying don't foul him. It's a soft foul, but, yeah, it's...
Ah, it was a foul, Ben. Like, a foul's a foul. You can't really, like... That's a foul. If that's not given, like, if the shoe's on the other foot, you'd be raging if that wasn't given.
I think we'll be we're raging anyway at a foul.
True.
Oh.
As a pan now. But, like, right, so that's grand. We'll come to things happening before an actual goal that you could go back and say, well, we wouldn't have been in that position if X, Y, and Z hadn't happened before that. It was a great ball. In fairness, credit where it's due. Brilliant delivery. It's one of those ones. Takes Connor Cairns totally out of it. Like, he can't come out for it. It's too much whip on the ball. It was a great delivery. And, like, any kind of flick on a good delivery like that, like, you're beating all ends up. But it just seemed really kind of soft, it'd be the word. I know you've used it for the foul. Like, the defending's just a bit soft. It's like, get a bit closer to him.
I think it's just it's a missed header, and then it's just a flick. Like, I don't know why, but it annoys me more that it's Redmond, because he always does it against us.
Yeah, he does, to be fair.
Like, I feel like he always just pops up with a goal, and it's always that smelly header from a free kick from the side. And I'm like, as soon as the free was given, I was like, oh no.
I felt we started the game really well. Like, there's kind of mixed opinion on this one. Like, I thought we started well. I thought we looked...
we started really positive.
Yeah, we looked good. Like, we looked...
We moved the ball well. I thought first 15 minutes, I thought Ray looked really lively going up against Zoidberg, or however you say that man's name. I don't actually... It looks like Zoidberg. I'm going to go with Zoidberg. Everyone knows, the Pat's rightful.
Right back, yeah.
Yeah. the Ray, I thought, looked really good, especially going up against him early on, and thought he caused a lot of bother. I think it's just, like, there was a few instances where I was like, we're playing really good football here. So I know it sounds weird, but even after the goal, I was like, it's fine. I was like, we should be okay. Is that a bit mad? I just thought
I thought the opposite. When we conceded, I thought, oh, fuck no, here we go. Just because we haven't been scoring. Yeah. So it's like, oh, there's no fucking way we're going to get two here.
As well as that, like a lot of teams, and I think based on some past performances, you're thinking Galway most recently, if they do get that goal, it almost seems like maybe an answer wasn't coming. But last night, I think it was just performance levels. I was like, no, I think there's something coming here. Like, we were going to score. We were always going to score.
I didn't think we were. Like, when we were 2-0 down, and like, what, 70-something minutes, I think, wasn't it, when Ray got his goal. We'll talk about the goals now shortly. Yeah, 76 minutes. I hope that's right, because I was the one inputting the info, so if that's wrong, that was my fault. While we weren't playing badly, I just didn't... Now, again, the Shell's pessimism is back in me, Ben. It's back in me bones, and I can't get rid of it.
I can tell every time I speak to you.
Yeah.
It's just like...
It's torturous. These games have been torturous. They really have. And I was always of the mentality, kind of up till the last series of games, like, ah, let's just, you know, we're top of the league. Like, we're, think about where we were, you know, not in the not too distant past. Like, we were shy, for want of a better phrase. And now, look, we're top. This is great. Oh, we'll probably qualify for Europe again. Everything's rosy. But now it's like, I think I was expecting us to fall away.
Yeah.
And we haven't fallen away.
Someone said, just being up at the top, it's actually dizzying. And I'm like, yeah, that's actually it. Because you come into the ground and you do have that little sense of nervousness. But for me, that goes as soon as the whistle goes and I see first 5-10 minutes, I'm like, right, grand, that kind of settles the nerves, especially over the last two games. I think performance levels and just how positive we've looked over the last two games has definitely settled a few of those nerves.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Obviously, like, Ray's goal, just, he's one of those, he obviously wasn't match fit when he arrived, and he looked a little bit rusty, really. Kind of like for those first couple of appearances, but last couple of games he's played, he's been electric.
But that's the player we signed, that's the player we wanted, that's the ability he has. Like, he does have a little bit of that Jarvis about him where, look, he'll go on a few runs, but then he mightn't do anything for 25-30 minutes, and then he'll just come up with a moment of magic.
Which is exactly what happened last night. I really enjoyed it. His reaction when it went in, it was like, yeah, that's in. And he just turned around and started walking. I was like, yeah,
business as usual, let's go.
Yeah. But the roar when we got that one back, it was like I've said a couple of times already this year, it was like somebody let the air out of a balloon at some of the Shells games where we've conceded and the whole thing just deflates and it's flat. That felt like the opposite. It was like this energy just fucking went through everyone.
Yeah, I think, like, someone said that was a roar they haven't heard in Talca Park in a very long time. And we've had a lot of good times to roar about. So that probably says an awful lot about when that goal went in.
Yeah, and it's gas because I'm being a complete hypocrite here, because I said up till we got the first one, I didn't think we were going to even get one. But as soon as we got the first one, I was like, we're going to get another one here. Like, they looked on the back foot then. They kind of you know, one of them went down injured, and then, you know, they're taking ages over throw-ins, the usual stuff. Like, we do the same. I'm not moaning about that end of it. But yeah, they were rattled. Like, they kind of took their chin, and were like, right, we need to fucking survive here for a few minutes. But, and then Matty Smith, who, look, we're all huge fans of Matty, even for his work rate alone, his shit housing alone, but that's what Matty has in his locker, and he's been so unlucky that it hasn't come out more this year. But what a blatant goal. Quite similar goals in a way, but like, two unbelievable strikes.
Two goal of the season contenders in one game. Like, we haven't scored goals like that all year.
No, I don't ever remember two goals of that quality in a game ever going to Shells matches. Now, somebody can correct me on that, but I don't ever remember. And even, I was trying to think back, we never score screamers, really. Like, we usually score, like, industrious kind of goals. The only one I could think of recently was JJ in UCD.
Smooth operator.
Ah, that was an amazing goal. But it just, it felt like that's the thing that we've kind of missed in the last one. It was just that bit of, and the manager alluded to it in his post-match, that we got into some great positions. We had some really good attack and play, and it's just that last little bit. Like, I feel like this could be a bit dramatic, but sometimes when we're in the final third, it's like the weight of the world is on us.
Yeah.
And it's like, so we're so desperate to score that, like, we're trying to square it to people, and we're trying to pick that final little ball to put it on a play.
Yeah, it's you're trying for the perfect tap in, essentially.
Yeah. And, like, there you go. That's the bit of magic that the likes of Ray has in him, Matty has in him, Liam Burt has it in him, Ali Koo. Like, all those attackers are well capable of coming up with something like that. It just, I'd love to see a few more shots. Like, the amount of times I shouted, oh, will you get a shot off?
Yeah. The amount of times from where we were standing, you just hear someone roar, walking past, just hit the thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, if that's what happens and we just hit the thing, please hit the thing more. But I will say, for the Matty Smith goal in particular, I think Boydie deserves a lot of credit.
100%.
And Connor Kearns as well. Because it's a wonderful ball up the pitch to get to Boydie's head anyway. It was the pass from Connor, wasn't it? I'm not mistaken on that.
Yeah, I think it was. Didn't Connor sent it, and then Boydie
knocks it down, yeah. But that's what Boydie offers you.
Yeah.
But it's not just that. Because there was one where he chased down a ball, and it was like, sure, that's pointless. He's not getting to that. He wins it. He's up there on his own. And you're like, that is the quality, like, we need up front. That's the person we've been missing, that workhorse that'll do everything, someone that'll knock it down, someone that has that finish in their locker as well, because we all know Boydie is well capable of pulling off one of those kind of goals. Like, people say, where are the goals going to come from? There. That kind of stuff.
And I think my dad said this as well with the subs. Like, Boydie coming on, and just he brings this energy to everyone. Yep. It's like the crowd. Like, I was actually standing there, and as Boydie was coming onto the pitch, he's like a big Trojan horse getting wheeled on. And like, if you're Joe Redmond and Gravosti, you must be standing there going, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, shit.
Had this English lad now running into me for whatever, an hour. And now I have this fucking lad coming on now as well, and he's going to put it up to me. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Boydie started on Sligo, against Sligo, and we played really well.
Boydie did not start on Sligo. We don't need any.
No, he didn't. He probably did at some stage. But
well,
he started a Sligo game, and we played really well. And it was like, when he came on, we just looked a little bit more of a threat. And that's not a slight on Aidan O'Brien either, because he kind of does a different job.
But I just think it's the energy he brings up front in his press. And I think the way he organises the press, like, I know it's not just him, but, like, I don't know. I feel like when Boydie presses someone, there's one or two times where he'd press and he'd nick the ball and go out for a throw-in. He kind of stopped the play. And he just works so hard for you. And I think Boydie and Conor Kearns deserve a lot of credit on obviously the second goal, but John Martin on the first one.
Yeah.
Like, John, in fairness, there has been a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, it hasn't been a lot, but there's been some unfair criticism, especially in recent weeks when the goals haven't been coming. But that interplay, that link up, even when he gets the ball, he picks up and he just drives. That is the quality of John Martin.
100%. And I was probably getting a bit carried away as well. Like, obviously, can we stop with the, we need a Will Jarvis. Like, forget all that. Like, that's, forget about it. But
I have a very strong feeling on this, and it's very harsh, but Will gave two incredible gentlemen, two unbelievable players, but they are gone and they're not coming back anytime soon. So,
and they're gone a while at this stage.
There's no point in looking at them and saying, oh, if we had this, if we had that, great. The biggest loss in the team is JJ Lunny.
Oh, we'll come on to JJ. Don't you worry about that. But the point I was going to make, especially with Jarvis leaving, is it felt like we've had to kind of change the way we were playing in the final third. There seemed to be a lot of, like, not that we were dependent on Jarvis, but he was always that kind of, if we get a bit of space, get it to Jarvis and he'll fucking pull a rabbit out of a hat and he'll do something. Yeah. Whereas, like, when you think about it, since the summer, like, Boydie has obviously been injured. Like, you've had this mad mixture of, you've had John Martin up there. We've had, like, Aidan O'Brien has come into the club. Ali Coote has come into the club. But they're very different players to what Jarvis is. So it's always going to take that bit of doing things a bit differently. Like, it's not just going to click straight away, especially for attacking players.
Yeah. It's like, you have to get, again, I think I've said this before, like, you have to get used to how a player wants to receive the ball, if they want it to run on to, if they want it to feet. Like, it's just chemistry, I think, and it's about building that and playing together. I don't know if that's a little bit cliche, is it?
No, it's not. Like, stuff takes time, and I'm not saying we've been world beaters in the last two games by any stretch, but maybe it's starting to click. Like, Ray looks electric. Ray, like, he looks... Yeah.
Like, that's some of the best football I've seen us play this year.
But you know what? They played together already. Didn't they play together at Dundalk?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, that kind of link-up of... They kind of know the chemistry is there. Like, they just carved through them. John just stuck the head down. So I had to drive the ball. 1-2. Ray cuts in. Boom, goal.
Simple, isn't it? The other thing, look, right, let's go to the third goal, the Pats winner.
Hello,
right, where do we want to start? Look, let's start with the fell that never was. Come on, give it to me. Give me your opinions. Give me your vent to me.
I'm going to choose my words carefully. But it's just a disgrace. It is. And look, I know you're not one for referee bashing, you'll stick up for it. And I don't want to be someone that will bash a referee, because it's a thankless job. No one wants to do it. I get that. I understand that. I want to see both sides. But it's the no accountability, and I know he's under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of pressure from comments made by Stephen Bradley, and you're like, oh geez, he must have the worst job in the world now. But he's made a mistake, and then you see people online arguing that, but he had a hold of his jersey as well, and that's all the referee is saying. I don't know how, between him and the linesman, they're missing a rugby tackle. No, am I a bit mad thinking
that? No, that's a stupid fucking argument. See that one of, oh, well, he has a hand. The ref couldn't see that from where he was from anyway.
ridiculous.
And the linesman is obviously down the far end, so the lino's never going to see it. My issue with it is he didn't have to give a foul.
No.
Like, if you can't see it, like, just let the game play. Why would you be given a foul if you can't actually see what's going on? Now, the more I've thought about this over the last kind of, what are we, we're not 24 hours, we're not a million miles off it, but why in the name of God was he refereeing the game? With all that went on, and I know you can't fucking, it's not right either, because Bradley comes out, says what he says, which I totally disagree with. I think that's wrong, and I think he should be punished for it, because it sets a bad precedent. Refs are going to be afraid of their shite to actually make a decision. But why was he put in charge of the game with all the controversy around the week before? Like, you've got so many other Dublin refs you could have stuck in. Just
it's poor management from whoever is allocating referees, or like, you have
I'm
to
not
look
defending. The decision was a shocker. No, like, it was really, really bad.
I'm not sure. Like, the decision was awful, but you have to look at, there's a person behind the jersey, behind the cards, and yes, does he deserve criticism in a professional capacity? Absolutely. He's made a mistake. He's got it wrong. He does deserve the, and what comes with that. But he shouldn't have been anywhere near the game. You have to look at well-being of the person. Is it like, he's under pressure. It's a TV game as well, so there's cameras everywhere picking up every angle of any mistake you make. So,
and it was a Monday night game. So it's not as if there was, like, whatever, what's there usually, five games on a match day? Like,
yeah.
Just don't put him in. Put any other referee in instead of him. Because, like, is that why he gave the free out? Because he didn't want to not give it and then John Martin run through and score? And then could you say in one breath he was unlucky that Pat did go down the other end and score? Like, I'd say when Pat scored, he probably went, oh, shit, I didn't need that. Do you know, like, I'd be surprised if that's not in a referee's thinking, where if they make a decision, generally from talking to refs, they'll tell you they kind of know by the reaction of players if they got a decision wrong. And I'm sure when they went up the other end, he was going, oh, please, miss, please do not score here. I don't need the hassle. But I refuse to look, it's a massive mistake at like a huge moment in the game. But as the manager said in his post-match, you cannot concede three goals like that and expect to pick up points, especially at home. And I'm not going to come out with the lion, because I do think he deserves to be bashed, because it's a shocker of a decision. But, like, it's not. Like, people saying, oh, he may have cost us the league with that decision. No. No, he hasn't cost the league. He's probably cost us a point, but he hasn't cost us the league.
But I'm also not having the argument of, oh, he was good up until that point. Great. If I get on a plane and a pilot can fly me all the way there but can't land, what use is it? I'm sorry.
That is fair. I would usually come out with that line that, oh, he was having a good game, because everyone said that about him up in Derry before he gave the decision for the dive. But as you say, like, there's no point flying the plane all the way if you can't land it. I usually hate the, like, we were a bit unlucky lion, but for that winner, like, when it hits the post, that ball could fall anywhere. It could have fallen at Gannon's feet. It could have bounced into Conor Cairns' hands. It could have hit the post and went behind for what would have been a goal kick, and then you're getting a chance to go up the other end. But the poxy thing falls right at the sub's feet, who had only come on the bleeding pitch just before that. So I think there was an element of a little bit unlucky with the way the ball fell, but ultimately it's no points gained, but it's another game out of the way. Are we trying to be too positive here?
Well, what's the point in being negative? Like,
fair.
No, but
what a Teresa sound like there.
No, but realistically, yeah, you could turn around and say everything's doom and gloom, but, like, it's not. Like,
no.
Yeah, we lost the game. great, big whoop. Like, the manner of which we lost it is what I'd look at. We probably played some of our best football in weeks. We've looked really positive. Yes, there's some stuff to probably look at and address, which I've no doubt the manager and the staff will do. But I'd be quietly optimistic. I'd be positive, especially after seeing the improvement. Like, I don't see any point in turning around and saying, this is terrible, this is terrible. No, because it's not.
Yeah, my biggest thing, I think I said this to you after the game. I think it was you I said it to. We limped through the Derry game up there. Wasn't a great performance. We were poor in Galway. We weren't great away to Bowes. And it felt a little bit flat in those games. Whereas this one felt...
like a Shell's performance.
Yeah, there was something in us. There was like a bit of a fire there that was like, no, we're not fucking rolling over here. And it came out of like nowhere.
That's something I haven't...
That resurgence.
Yeah, but that's something I haven't felt in weeks, probably months.
100%.
Like, we go one down to Galway. Are you confident?
No chance.
No, we weren't, because we just weren't really, like, our usual intensity, aggression, none of that was really there. It was at times, but overall, it wasn't the greatest account of ourselves. This was a really good account of ourselves, despite the result, I thought.
Yeah, and it's not as if Pats were carving us open every time they got the ball or anything like it. It was just three mad goals we gave away, really. And like, it looks easy to say, like, goals win matches, but if you took the three goals out of it, like, it's obviously totally different. But there was just something in us, and I think it stems from Coyler. I think he was brilliant. He was back to his best. He was fucking winning his tackles. He was jumping people. He covered every blade of grass. And it's what the manager said. It's not always a goal. Sometimes it's a tackle or a block or a save can kind of spur you on. And Coyler was winning every single battle he went into. And I think that feeds through the team. He has a bit of that Roy Keane about him where, like,
if he's doing it, you
want to. I'm in this. Are you coming? Or are you staying behind?
But,
and, like, I'm sure, again, I was talking to another ex-player before the game, and he was saying, like, it's difficult to be the captain in that situation. It's difficult enough to be a captain when you've been there and done it. But the reality of it is, Mark hasn't been there and done it. You know, like, he's never won a league. He's never been in this position before. So for him to stand up with that kind of a performance in a game like that where we were 2-0 down and we were beaten, I don't care what anyone says, we were beaten, looking at it from a supporter point of view. Now, I'm sure there's that belief within the group that they're never beaten, but I just felt like he dragged us
over the line, kind of.
It was like, come on.
We are not dead and buried. Dig yourself out of that hole where we're not, this is not where we die.
Yeah, it was like, I'm having a fucking go at this. Whoever's coming can come, but I'll do it myself if I have to. And again, it's not a slight on the other players, but sometimes you just need that little, like, but that Roy Keane thing, just run into someone.
Yeah.
Like, just do something. And he did time and time again, winning tackles. He was really good with the ball, I thought, better than he kind of has been. Not that he's played badly in the last few weeks, but he just wasn't that whole...
It was a little bit more confidence, I thought, where you get the ball and carry it a bit more. Like,
yeah.
Maybe it was a little bit passive in recent weeks where you look at the team as a whole, maybe you don't want to make too many mistakes. I felt like it was just a usual Shelburne performance from what we've been accustomed to seeing all year.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with that. And, like, again, people can be really critical of the players, and I understand that. Look, players aren't... Nobody's above criticising performances. Like, that's the whole point. It's why we come on here, is to talk about the game. And we do try to be as honest as we can. But the one thing that can never be kind of questioned in this group is that work rate, and they give a shit, because if they didn't, they wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, the management staff wouldn't have them.
But, dude, you know as well as anyone that sees the manager, you even see people on Twitter after his interviews and saying, I'd run through a brick wall for that man. If you, me, or anyone else would run through a brick wall for him, imagine what those players would do for him.
Oh, 100%. Like, I have no worries now. I seen enough last night that I think we'll do it. There's enough grit and enough. No, we're not going to fucking roll over here. And look, if we don't win it, we don't win it. It won't have been for the lack of desire or work rate.
The lack of trying. And look, no matter what, that squad will always have a special place in my heart. I know it's a bit weird, but they're a team we can actually be proud of, because they go out there, they wear their hearts on their sleeves at times, and they will die for that manager, they'll die for that badge, they will do everything, and you can see how much it means to them to be a Shelburne player. Is that a cliche? I know.
If you thought that was a cliche, I'm going to come out with a worse one. Like, they are four games away from complete and absolute immortality with Shelburne Football Club. If you win a league with this club after the shit that everyone has been through for the last, whatever it is, 18, 20 years, like, you will fucking never buy a pint in Talca again. I can guarantee you that. Like, they're so close, and I'd hate for pressure to be the thing that brings them down.
It won't be.
If that makes sense. Because
after the last two games, I think that kind of nervousness is out of our play. It's just that, right, we'll go out, we'll do our business, we'll play our football. I feel like that kind of mentality is there to be seen. Like, I don't want to say quietly confident, but I am.
And that's allowed. But, like, I think, and, like, your brother being the same boat as me, we're obviously a little bit older than, like, yourself, and obviously Reggie and Owen Smith are always at the games, but I could name you that 06 squad from top of the list to the bottom of the list. I could tell you every staff member, I could tell you anyone who was around the team, because that's what winning a league does. I know we won the first division, but it's like, yeah, like, it's great, but this would be special. And, like, everyone, physios, doctors, coaches, people just generally around helping the team, you would be never, ever, ever forgotten in Talca if you win a league. And it's so close. Like, it's there. It's literally fucking there, right in front of us. And I hope for the group that we do it, because they fucking deserve it. They've given the club a team to be massively proud of, where in the last 18 years, there's not many teams we could have been proud of.
Dude, we've seen a lot of mercenaries come in through those doors and through those gates. We've seen a lot of people phoning in performances, playing for a wage, a paycheck. They couldn't give a shit who's in the back, who works hard. They don't care. They were just there because they're paid to be there. These lads are given everything. They will give everything. They do give everything.
And we'll need it on Sunday, Ben, because Big Pat is obviously suspended on Sunday in accumulation of yellows. Matty Smith obviously will miss the game after his red card. Injuries then. Like, Griff obviously went off. That doesn't look great. Aidan O'Brien went off. Not the type of fella to go off injured, I wouldn't have thought. So I'd probably be concerned about that one. Sam Bone, I presume, is still injured because he wasn't even in the squad yesterday. JJ, we don't really know where that one stands at the moment. It's real going into the Lions Den stuff on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, and I live for I love it and I can't wait.
I'm saying, like, I think this will work for us.
Oh, yeah. This is exactly what we need. Siege, us against the world.
Yep.
Oh, they're down bodies. They're nothing. They're dust. They don't. Go on. Say what you want to say.
But the other thing with Sunday is if you get a result on Sunday, even like a point would be a great result, all things considered. If you go to Talla and you get a result with no fit centre half, that is a, like, if you're Derry, you're looking at it going, fuck's sake. Okay. Like, how did they manage to do that?
They just lie down at some stage.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I'm looking forward to it. Like, there are no free hits. That doesn't exist, but it's a type of a game where I'd be going into it saying, yeah, mom, let's have a go off this.
Yeah.
And it's... Now, I say all this now. Come Sunday, I'll be a bag of nerves. I won't know what to be doing with myself. If anyone sees me in the ground, they go, what do you reckon today, dude? Ah, we'll lose 3-0. But I don't actually mean that. That's just...
That's his default setting. Years of trauma has him at that setting.
Correct. Correct and right. We're fighting on all fronts, Ben. Saturday gone. The Women's Premier Division side went down to Galway. And again, you talk about great determination, pulling your socks up to get over the line. Huge result to keep that title hope alive.
Yeah, that again, you look at leaders, you look at people getting you over the line, and that's what you need. And that's, I think, what they have in abundance. I think all we can do is our part, and that's what we have been doing, in fairness. I don't think you could look at them and say they haven't done their bit. They are probably very unlucky not to get a second in the game. Probably could have put it to bed a bit earlier, but that would be the only slight criticism. But you look at the performance, it's a horrible, horrible place to go. So getting the 3 points is massive. The game changers obviously couldn't help us out massively. They did do a little bit for us. So there's still an awful lot of football. Still a good bit to go. And they don't have an easy finish at Long.
No, they don't. Saturday was a weird one, not the prettiest of performances, but again, it doesn't really matter. It's just about getting those points on the board.
As you said, it can be 1-0 and ugly as long as the points are there.
Yeah, it still gets notched up as 3 points. There's no asterisks beside it about how well you play. You don't get an extra point for playing better. I know that, like, you're talking, I mean, as difficult games go, there's obviously two games to play for both teams at the top. We're at home to Piemont. It's at 2 o'clock on Saturday. It's the old enemy, you'd probably say. They haven't probably lived up to their own standard this year at all, but it's win or bust, isn't it?
Yeah, but every game is now. Like the last two, it's kind of like, I think Owen Weirin said when they looked at the table, it was, last time there was 6 games left, when he just said we go out and try and win all 6, and yeah, that's what they're doing. That's what they're going for. That's what they have to do. Athlone obviously host Bowes, I believe, and yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah,
we had to hope Rovers did a job, and now we have to hope for Bowes to do something. But hey, look, we can only do our part.
Yeah, 100%. You go out, you do the business on Saturday afternoon, and then obviously Athlone play later on. So all eyes would be on that. But as I say,
7:35, isn't it?
Yeah, 7:35 because of the TV. But our game obviously is 2 o'clock on Saturday. It's, as I say, win or bust. So get down to Talca, lend your support because it is much needed. And if you ask any of those players or staff, it has gotten them over the line more than once in the last couple of years. So get yourselves down and let's get it to the final day, because as we all know, magical things can happen on the final day of the Women's Premier Division. That is for sure. Ben, it's time for Richie Rankins before... Actually, no, do you know what? I'll rattle off a few of the Instagram comments. I basically asked, can we do it? Can we get over the line? Bit of a mixed bag. Cody Hayes, I think we'll have enough confidence to do it. Brian, we will, sir. Very confident and polite. Maggot then came back with, the way it's going, we're doing a Shells. I can see us finishing third. That's real Shells way, pessimism gone wild.
Way to be positive and keep the faith in the performance. Yeah. exactly what we need.
Yeah, a lot of people very, very positive. Alan Fraser, if we beat Rovers, it's ours. I could see what you're getting at. I will see what you're getting at. I'm not going to comment on it, though. What else have we got? 100% believe. And somebody else came back just with a flat no. We won't win it. Again, great. Somebody else said we could not win another game and still win it the way it's going, which is probably also true. Luke Byrne said we'll win it on the final day.
Sorry, where's your line?
Go away, Ben, will you?
Say not that, Luke Byrne.
No, I'm not. No more sound bites, thank you. Jerry McMahon, just blow it up. This is torturous. I can't do it. He said what I felt. Really? Who else have we got? Jordan O'Reilly, we'll beat Rovers. Shelbyville will do us a favour. The thought of even relying on a favour. See, we don't need favours.
No.
It's in our hands, so you don't need anyone to
do that and you just
to do us any favours. Yeah, you just get out, do the business.
I was going
to
say, you're lying there. You have another line for...
No, piss off, will you? Caldwell said no again. That's the second person that just flat out said no, we won't win it.
Well, anyone that says no when it is all said and done, you can celebrate outside the ground.
Yeah, hand your season tickets back, please. Adam Leonard, if we beat Waterford and Drogs, it's ours. It's a title race with Shells. It's never going to be easy. And then he said, but to answer the question, I feel terrible. Happy Tuesday, Duty. Thanks, Adam. it is a rough L feeling. A lot of people talking about the referee. I know. You know, what else do you want us to say? It was a complete shocker of a decision. But nevertheless, it's done and dusted now. It's in the rear view. Let's look forward. Ben, the important business is the Richie Rankins. I will go first, if that's all right with you, if you'll indulge me.
Go on.
My Richie Baker is Stewie Byrne.
You because, bastard.
Because for
I swear to God, I'll send you a picture of my notes app because that is who I have written.
For showing how partisan he actually is, he argued to the death that it shouldn't have been a red card.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was...
For that, I will be forever grateful. Stewie Byrne absolutely loves the Reds and don't ever think anything to the contrary.
Oh, dude, really, really messing me up here. We really need to start talking about, like...
Yeah, look, it wouldn't make for the same pod. My Richie Winter is going to be Stephen Kenny. And the reason is... trying to pick and choose where you do your interviews. That's not how this works. You do your interview where the television are happy to do the interview, not where you want to do it.
Yeah, but so he's just a whinge bag. He's always been a whinge bag. He'll always be a whinge bag.
Yeah, just do your interview where you're asked to do the interview.
Just do your interview and comb your hair.
Ben, who's your Richie Winter?
I know we're not allowed to give it to a collective, but I don't really care because Darren can give it out to me if he wants to. The Pat's media.
Go on, explain.
You know why? Like, here.
But no, the listeners don't, Ben.
Yeah, And I will explain, but to be fair to them, it wasn't all of them. It was just one particular person who decided that he was going to give it the big one after the game, which is bizarre behaviour to me because, again, just a bit weird. So the players obviously had to wait on the pitch because people had to leave and they decided to take the mickey coming off and delay themselves. So they stood there, and rightly so, as people got to leave, because you can't hold them there with the tunnel all day waiting for them to get off the pitch. And that was fine. There was a few waves and a few jeers from, I don't know if he was a photographer, if you did video, someone there from Pats. I was like, you have absolutely no right to jeer any fans. You take photos.
Yeah.
You work on the media side of things. Like, players are being abused all game. They're being shouted at. Everything is said to them. So if they want to give the big one after a win, by all means, you've earned that right. But that, nah. Like, I don't go around waving to people if we win a game.
Yeah, it was a real read the room.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's kind of a, like, just don't put yourself in that position. Like, you're not on the pitch kicking the ball around. It's the same with us. Like, you know me, like, I hate even going onto the pitch after the game because, like, it's just a bit weird. But, like, you haven't kicked the ball around for 90 minutes, so you've no right to have a pop at supporters. Very, very strange stuff. And, like,
look, by all means, be happy. Celebrate with the people there. I'm not having to go for celebrating.
No.
Weirdly having a pop at supporters, I was like, that's a bit strange.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, how many games have we been at, away games, where, like, you get an amazing result and it's like, geez, we've really done them. But you kind of keep a lid on it until the supporters are gone.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not,
I believe, like, the word is professionalism.
Yeah, I host a bleeding podcast. Like, you get video. Like, why would we be fucking jeering supporters? Very strange. Very, very strange behaviour. Like when we play in Dalymount, we don't even, like, I stay completely away from the kind of tunnel air in Dalymount because it's just not worth the hassle of going over because the stick you get.
Yeah. Just, like, I just don't get it. It's kind of one of those stay in your lane things. Like, it's grand. You can celebrate and be happy. I'm not saying you cannot do that. But, like, giving it the big one to supporters is a little bit strange. Like, you're supposed to be there and work in a professional capacity, so you haven't given your blood, sweat and tears on the pitch, so it's a little bit strange. But here, look, to each their own. I'm not going to judge anyone.
Yeah, we'll look, we just mutually agreed it's Stewie Byrne as the Richie Baker for this week.
Yeah, I think that's
safest bet. Absolute legend, Stewie Byrne, an underrated Reds man.
It's just the defending of the red card is just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
The game on Sunday, obviously, it's 5:45 kickoff. It's massive. It's huge. Get yourselves out. Get behind the team, as everyone has done so often this year. Another mention, the Academy is, I mean, it's producing bodies. I mean, the proof's in the pudding over the last couple of years. With players coming through the first team, whether they've been gone off to other clubs or they're doing it here, it's very, very encouraging. Well, I would say it's not something we've been brilliant at recently, but at the moment, our academy teams are in good footing, I'd say. And our under 17 boys team have a cup final on Sunday. It's a 2:30 kickoff. It's in Talca. Get yourselves down, because it's a very, very, very strong football team. There's been lads obviously involved in and around the first team. You would have seen Dan Ring on the bench an awful lot. He plays for the under 17s team. Taylor McCarthy was on the bench last week. He's another one, comes through that 17s set up. Ali Topchu, who was on the bench in the European games, part of it as well. So get yourselves out. You're seeing the next, hopefully that next little burst of young players to come through. So get out, lend your support. It's a 2:30 kickoff on Sunday down in Talca, home advantage. So get down, get your flags out and make the lads feel at home, because it is their home. And then sure, you can potter off out to Talla a full time net game. Ben, I think we're there. I think that's it. Have you anything to add?
Up the Reds.
We'll take that. Goodbye. God bless. See you all on Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.